Again, so glad that you're here. We certainly appreciate that. Being talked to earlier in the lesson about everyone loves gifts. Some come with responsibilities in this life, some don't. But when it comes down to it, every one of God's gifts comes with responsibilities. That when we reach, we realize we need to obey Him and to do His will, it comes with responsibility. We sang the song this morning, Count Your Many Blessings, and I do appreciate both have led. Appreciate that so much. They go along well with the lesson. And I appreciate, of course, the focus today was about the greatest gift that we've been given in this life, our Lord Christ, when we took the Lord's Supper. But we certainly have many, many blessings in this, way more than we can count. We couldn't count them if we had to. So we're talking about life, God's gift to us under the sun. In Ecclesiastes 15, the NIV, it says, what do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. Whatever it has been, and what will be has been before, and God has to account. Now, we've read this several times. We read just talking about how the sun is and that we can enjoy it, and we find that indeed it is a gift from God. In the class this morning, we were talking about James 1 and about the trials and tribulations that we go through. And I mentioned to the young man, I said, so each one of you going to school, I'm sure you enjoy the tests that are given. And they all, Philip said he can hardly wait till he gets to take one of those tests because they're so easy. Well, you know, I said, what are we use the word, I don't even realize what we're talking about. It's seeing, as he said, we don't like that. Heaven, you might ask, we don't like trials. We don't like tribulations. We don't like problems in this life. So many people in their life, really, it's so we can be happy. But you don't understand. There's problems. He talks about the toils. He talks about us, what we have to do. But did you notice in the middle of this, is nothing better for people to do good while they live? Huh. That each of them may find satisfaction in all the toil. This is not only is life a gift of God, but the things He does are gifted from Him. Well, I tell you what. Look at this. We were talking about how difficult it is back there and with grandchildren. It's amazing, isn't it? And we think that's like a big labor thing and we have to really work hard at that. Oh, it's just that's to be. This is all a gift from God. It's a gift to be happy or rejoice. 10 through 20. He mentions it throughout this book several times. Here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of the Son all the days of his life, which God gives him. He said, don't be so miserable when you go out to do a job to provide for your family. Enjoy it. That's a gift from God. But how many of us whine and complain? We just as to every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, it's a gift of God. We need it's a gift. It's not something that we do on our own. It came from God. It's a blessing. For he will not dwell of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. You know, if you're busy with all of these things, you don't have time to sit there and whine, complain, and this misery in your life. You're busy. That's what makes us happy. We're not happy when we're not doing things. I'm telling you right now, we think we are, but we're not. In Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. His ways, when you labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be your wife shall be like a vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around. It is all mouths to feed. Look at us, what a blessing. Is. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed. You'll understand it. The Lord brought you out of Zion, and may you see the good of all the days of your life. Certainly talking to the Israelites, you see your children's children. Peace be upon people. Thank you. I've got God that you can. You can toil and enjoy the fruit of your labor. The sun. That you can have a blessing. Maybe we don't understand it. Maybe we don't do that. Maybe we don't. Well, vine brought maybe our children into this world. Because they're her children too. Maybe we don't appreciate that the way we should. Why are we so miserable in our families when we should understand and know and enjoy this so much? And then he says one of the things, do good with what you have. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, but do not be forgetful. Share with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hog it for you. Give it to others. Do good. 3:10-12, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking. Turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the faith against those who do evil. We need to use what we will, and then everything will be good for us. But it's so beautiful to eat and drink from one's labor. What a blessing. Is better, when you're talking about life under the sun, nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Last night they'd gone on a vacation and they were with. He was talking. He said how special it is. You go to sit down to eat and it's like much better. Well, you love, and it's just an amazing thing, isn't it? You can enjoy things so much. If we understood that with our family, we would enjoy that. All the good of one's labor. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, go eat. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has all works. Let your garments all lack no oil. Live joyfully with a wife with whom you love all the days He's given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Work, or device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you're. Those don't benefit us anymore. Enjoy them this life. From God, and I need to recognize that. This is God's gift to me, to give me life. I do not have it separate and apart from Him. If I'm it, some work in it. That doesn't sound right, does it? And I mean, it's like He's giving us something. It is. You need to make something. Instead of being stressed out, miserable, and unhappy. How many people are stressed out in their lives? How many people bring children in this world? How many people get married and they're unhappy with their life? I don't understand what He didn't mean to be miserable and stressed out. Psalm 127, verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Worry. You do. What their answer was? Pray. Handle it for you. He's the one with the strength to do it. You're not, then go to bed happy. Let in the morning, God is still there, and He's with you all night long. This whole thing's talking about the 127th Psalm about our homes, but in one, He says, I'll tell you what, when you don't obey, and same true today, now therefore, you've sown much and bring in little. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You earns wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your weight. Think about this for a moment. Is this our life? Maybe it's our life. Maybe it's for himself or because we just don't understand the value of what God's given us. Do you ever feel like you've put your weight? Where'd the money go? I mean, where does it go? Thank you. I'll tell you what. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Does it matter? Let me tell you how much money you're going to leave when you leave this life. All of it. That's what Cody. All of it. So what? In some ways, what difference does it make as long as you've used it wisely and used it the way God wants? Miserable? Turn it over to God. Let Him. He'll do it. And He said, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing taken from it. God does it. If it's God's determined will, now, we can change His will by adding will of people before things. He's added life to people. That's found in creation. It doesn't change in creation. We don't, like I said before, in me. If it's His determined will, it's going to remain. He said, well, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? The line upon it. The truth is, it was created a certain way. And regardless of what we might think about it or anything else, it doesn't. You know what? I wish the earth was. Happen. He made it. Make it. We have nothing to do with that. We can't change that. We can't change the dimension of the sun. We can't change any of this. It's His determined will it be like this. It's found in the. It's not just the fact He created, He controls it. For God is my King from of old, of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people in the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. Oh, I thought we did that. I thought man controlled all of this. Yours. You've prepared the light and the sun. You've set all the borders, summer and winter. That's His determined will, and I don't care how many try to change that. He wants a river dried up. We couldn't put water in. Well, in James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law and yet offend in one point or stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. It's everything. It's His determined will that we do. Can't debate it. Well, I don't happen. No matter what I think. sovereignty. On anything I might do, it's based on Him. Verse 3, but our God is in heaven, whatever. Do we really think that somehow or another we can collectively or individually change that? If you'll turn there, 14. God is sovereign. When He makes determinations, when He decides things are a certain way, thinks about it. And I can tell you now, everything that He does, I would urge you to go back and read Romans. What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whomever I have compassion. Not on the basis of what you think. It's not on the basis of anything else. Not things. It's what God says. So then, of God who shows mercy. He says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, my power in you, that my name is declared in all the earth. Therefore, He has mercy on whom He wills, and whom He wills, He hardens. You understand, why does He still find fault? In other words, if you're reading this, you might think, well, He made me like this, He forces me to do this. Well, that's not true. It's not true. You have free will to do His will. That's not an argument. That's not based on His sovereignty that that's true. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to Him who formed it, why have you made me like this? He didn't. He made me. And then determined like this. Does the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show His wrath and make His power known, and such long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, whom He has prepared for beforehand for glory? Even us, also, but also of the Gentiles, and again, an earth context. The truth is, in all of this, God made these predetermined choices. He offered it to the Jews, and He took it to the Gentiles. There is no argument about it. They had a choice. They could obey Him or not. Should they then be able to say to Him, this is not right. Your determined will is not right, God. No. Not absolutely not. He's fair. He gives mercy to whom He gives mercy. In other words, who did He punish? That's what it's about. Those He predetermined. You don't have choice in that. It's a person to be saved. Well, yeah. He'll do it. He'll show mercy to them if they'll do His will. The only way I'll receive the mercy of God is if I'll continually try to do His will and ask His forgiveness through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's absolute rule. In 40 verse 17, all nations before are as nothing. You mean we couldn't combine together and fight against God? And they are counted by Him worthless. You want to put yourself in perspective, United States of America? Count yourself as nothing and worthless before God. Isaiah 29, 15 and 16. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows? Turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of Him who made it, He did not make me? Or shall the thing has no understanding? Look, You didn't make me. Sad. It's really sad. And they think that they're getting... That's why they will receive no mercy unless they change their lives. On his ability to control entire nations. Not that he considers them as. Truth is, in Jeremiah 18, 5 through 10, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not show making a vase, and he didn't like it, and he just destroyed it. It's Jeremiah's lesson. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. The instant I speak, concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. One, God's mercy, but we better be prepared for His justice in this country because we don't know what's coming. The truth is, I pray that He continues to look down on us mercifully. I pray not destroy this nation, but that's God's choice. He continues to say in the end, kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. You think He's only talking about Israel here? Reading the Bible, brought up in how many kingdoms He destroyed. And how many nations vanished from the face to be seen again. And so we go on. Why does He do all these things? Why does He make all these things known to us? Why do we look around and see all these things that men should fear before Him? God is to be feared. And I don't care which word's used. Whether it's in the Greek, the word, I don't care if it's reverence or just abject fear. And this one can have both meanings. You better have both of them. I can tell you right now, every way that you can fear, you better have it before God. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Start with fear. I'll tell you back there talking. And I did not realize how mean of a mother there. She put fear in her children. And she put fear in them. You don't fear, I'm going to do what's right. Fear is the beginning. And I'll tell you, either work that we before Him. It is the beginning of wisdom. And we should have this complete reverence for God. In Malachi 1, they had lost it. They didn't understand. They no longer looked at Him like they should. All these things were written. So much of what we've studied today, reference to the New Testament, but not. So clear His nature. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? Fathers, that should teach us something. We better get the reverence from our children. Because if we don't, they will not learn it about God. We are their first one that they should learn it from. And a father needs to be honored by his children. Better honor their father. And mother. And the truth is with this, is if we teach them to have complete respect for us as their parents. If I am a master, where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Despise your name? Well, he goes on with a whole list. I just put my altar, but say in what way we defiled you by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. That's pretty sad. That goes to us today when we partake of this new table, this Lord's Supper, and we don't do it in a respectful way before God. You see what he says about it? God wants us to serve him faithfully in Jeremiah 5:20-24. Declare this in the house of Judah and proclaim it to Judah, saying, Hear this now, O foolish people, without fear me. Will you not tremble at my presence? Who has placed the sand as the bound of the sea by perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? He said, wouldn't you fear someone that does something that awesome? What's a boundary cannot pass over? Boundaries that we can't, that we're so concerned about, are up and take over the. Who do we fear? God. Not fear me? And though its waves toss to and fro, talking about these huge oceans, that they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a heart. They've revolted and departed. They do not say in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God. Who gives rain? Take away the rain. You better fear Him. Both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointment, and He can take away the harvest. You better fear me. If you knew tomorrow that God could take away everything that you have because of your disobedience, what would you do? Is that what it would take for me to be faithful? Beginning of everything, also the thing. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man, or for this man's all. For God will. You better have enough fear of Him, commandments. Just like fathers, you better put that in children. Fear you and keep your commandments. Because if you let them get away with it, God then, and you say, fear God and keep His commandments, are they going to understand? Serves. We'll read this. I know I have to work on this. God's not right here. God hasn't left me dead. There's nothing happening in my life. It's kind of. I know that if He chooses to, He can take me down. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can beg for. I can do. In Hebrews 10, starting with verse 20, I'm going to start with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Christ, or Jesus, by a new and living way which He constantly. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart washed with pure water. He's basically saying, clean up. Then let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promises faithful. What's some methods we could do that, God? Let's consider in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Exhorting one another, or is approaching. For, if, after we come to the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains us for sin. If there's no longer. What do we have to look forward to? A certain fiery or fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. How do we know that? Remember me, the Old Testament, we can clearly see it. Well, that's what He's going to have reference to. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If that's the case, then, of how much worse punishment do you be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant as or a common thing, insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, I will repay, says the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If there's one thing I could instill in each one of us today, that as Solomon said, Son is wonderful. It is to be enjoyed and with all of it. So, with that said, knowing now we have this, as a friend, and I'll tell me today as a friend of me, we better understand that it's a fearful. Someone for not keeping one of the laws of Moses. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I don't want you going away from here, as I've said many times before. I want you to be very sad. I want you to do it out of a good love for you. As we've read from this passage, something beautiful in it. He's also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom. Amen. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. Does it so that what will be has already been before. He's already made. He's done all of others we get from this text, and I think a very beautiful text. But God not only gives us the gift of physical life, but has promised us eternal life if we obey Him. And how many of us look forward to that? I do. In my life, I think, what a beautiful blessing. As much as I enjoy this life and as much as it is a blessing from God, it is nothing to be compared with what He's planned for us there. Again, He gave us the gift of His Son for our sins, as we sang in the song earlier as well. He gave that gift. It was the most precious gift, bar none, much greater than any other gift that's ever been given for us, because it took His gift took care of our sins, His death on the cross. Have you obeyed Him? Make today the day. Become a child of God. Obey His will. He hasn't asked you some difficult thing to do. He's really made it very simple. Your faith will cause you to obey. Are you willing to obey? And as a Christian, is there any needs we could assist you with? Would you please think about that in this song?